podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Tuesday. Good afternoon and welcome into Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Yours worldwide through the Double T 97.3 mobile app, brought to you by Happy State Bank. And on television, Fox 34 News Now. However, wherever you join us from, we're glad you've chosen to make us part of your Tuesday. I am not Aaron Dickens. I'm Choice Woodman. In for Aaron today, Tim Arite. That is Mike Gustafson.
Hello, hello.
Did I do that correctly?
Okay,
just making sure. Clint Scott, back behind the glass, taking care of us as usual. You two can hit us up. Thoughts, comments, questions, hopes, dreams, whatever you want to get in there. Yay's Flooring Center chat line open to you through that Double T 97.3 mobile app. You can also join us on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973, the number you need for that. Did you just, Gus?
Did you just bow to Dr. Mike Gustafson?
I did bow to
It was Gus. Uncalled for.
Was it?
Yeah. Weird.
I know that Clint was trolling me, but I was going to go through.
Oh, is that anyway. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Clint is, if you haven't learned this in your short time here.
He's a crapster.
Yes. He is the biggest troll in the world. But
own it, big boy.
He does. That's a huge compliment.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
He does.
A troll wants to hear that, right?
Of course they do.
High praise to a troll.
No doubt. So, Gus, first one of these we've done since you have joined Tech Talk. It's been a little while since I've done this, so I'll bear with me. I'm going to do my best to embody Aaron Dickens. No? Clint says don't do that. Okay. Never mind.
It's our vacation, man. Come on.
It's your vacation from Dickens, not the other way around. Okay. Okay, I like that. We will get into an array of stuff today. Of course, it is Major League Baseball trade deadline day, so we'll get into that throughout the program coming up a little bit later. We'll talk a little Texas Tech baseball as the news came out with Cole Stillwell yesterday, but also draft, the dust is kind of settled with the draft, so we can look towards the roster and what that should look like for Texas Tech this coming season. And if you haven't driven by the ballpark, it seems like there's some progress going on facility-wise with Texas Tech baseball. So we can touch on that. We'll talk a little. Go ahead.
I was going to say just some steel going up.
Yeah,
if you haven't driven by,
up.
If you haven't been by there in a couple months, if your tours don't take you up that little Champions Drive or whatever, that's that deal out in left field has been a construction spot, but now there's stuff going up
for
no doubt.
We'll talk a little Dallas Cowboys. Has got some bad news yesterday on the receivers front, so I've got a list here of potential receivers sitting out there that the Cowboys could go after. We'll see who Gus thinks would be the best option out of those. It'll probably be none. Gus is going to fill me in on what happened with the Bachelorette last night, because I didn't watch.
I didn't either.
But apparently something...
saw the text.
Something big happened.
Something big of local interest,
of
right?
Of local interest, yeah. Yeah, so y'all in the chat line will have to fill us in on exactly what went down there. And, of course, 32 days away, we are in football month, so we'll talk plenty of Texas Tech football today. I have 5 definitive statements for Texas Tech football today, and you guys are going to buy or sell on them.
Okay.
Be in or out on whether you think they will come true this season or not. So plenty to dive into over the next 3.5 hours. We're with you till 6:30 today. Rangers baseball take over at that time as they take on the Orioles. We'll get into it more in depth, but the big news of the day is obviously trade deadline stuff. Juan Soto, as expected, on the move. He is headed out west.
And that didn't run all the way
to...
A little
drama,
That didn't run all the way to 5 o'clock today or whatever. That one was taken care of pretty early this morning.
Yeah, that one was really quick.
Yeah, before lunch.
Eric Hosmer is,
yeah.
He said no thank you in a trade clause to going back towards the Nationals, which is, you see happen sometimes in MLB, but not super often. So that was an interesting move.
Of course, the Padres get Josh Bell out of that deal, and Bell's mm-hmm. probably, you know, a switch hitter, probably a little more value than Hosmer at this point. Hosmer's still pretty expensive. As you said, he vetoed that deal and ended up the day going to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You know, Hosmer's to the Red Sox, and the Red Sox have been in a bit of a sell mode, but and then it just got added to the deal. Luke Voit went from the Padres, and so the Padres got rid of both first basemen today. Like in the last, I don't know, 30 minutes or an hour, Luke Voit was the replacement for Hosmer in that deal.
Right.
So, that's a whale of a deal. And you know, for folks that pay attention, we had a text, Aaron and I did a couple weeks ago, about which Red Raiders are playing in the Texas League.
Yep.
Right now, and Clayton Beater's one of them. Of course, he's been in the news today. We'll talk about him a little bit, but
sure.
He in this trade stuff as well. But
the worst news of the entire trade deadline.
Yeah. Well, the Padres have had the very first year of the Amarillo Ball Club.
Yeah.
Sod Poodles.
There you go.
Started to call them the Dillas and the Gold Sox.
They were the Dillas.
Call them everything. Yeah.
They were probably Gold Sox more to you growing up.
Well, when Gary Ashby played for them. They
exactly.
Were
the, they were the Dillas growing up.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, so.
I don't know why. But
up against the Crickets.
Yeah, but they originally were a Padres affiliate, and so Mackenzie Gore pitched up there, and some of these names that were involved in that trade.
Sure.
And of course, you know, they're
Diamondbacks now,
yeah,
right?
So it's kind of, yeah, Diamondbacks now, but that's kind of fun to go, hey, I saw that guy pitch in Amarillo.
Yeah. You know, how many times have you got to get up to that ballpark?
I guess I went to one of the two Tech OU games.
Right.
Didn't go this year, went last year. I've probably been to five or six. Brooks and I have gone up there a couple times. We went up there to see Patty, to see Jacob Patterson when he was in Springfield. Nothing like getting us on the pass list to get us to show up.
That's right.
Went up there a couple times, his 2 years in Springfield, and then went up there last year to see Parker Mashinsky throw against them. And then we went to the little Tech night deal they had earlier this summer. They kind of had a Tech, you know, you could buy your tickets and sit in a Tech section kind of out there in left field on that little terrace setting.
Right.
It was fun night. Yeah, probably five or six games, and it's cool setting. It really is. They did a good job with that stuff.
Yeah, it's an awesome little ballpark there.
Yeah, the
you like that one or Midland better?
I like them both.
So it's hard to.
Yeah, I like them both. Yeah, and that's probably it. The downtown setting's a little bit cooler for what Amarillo's got. You know, the Art Deco thing's neat.
Yeah.
You know, as you're walking up from out on the sidelines. I wish it's one of the most offensive, and I don't mean offensive.
Offensive,
a little bit of offensive as opposed to defensive ballparks in all of minor league baseball. So I wish they'd have made it a little more.
If they would have just
balanced,
switched the direction,
yeah,
that would have
exactly.
done it. Because it seems like there's always a south wind.
It's,
blowing
yeah,
out.
There's a the, anything blowing out of the southwest is straight. It's oriented the same way that Hayes Field and O'Banion are.
Yep. We will fill you in on a few headlines. Juice next on Double T 97.3.
A podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Glad to be with you on a Tuesday. You're listening to Tech Talk till 6:30 today on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. To my right, that is Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Choice Woodman, in for A.A. Ron today. Clint Scott, back behind the glass, taking care of us. You can continue to join us. Your thoughts, comments, questions, all welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Banjo Bob says, is AD suspended again for another mayonnaise-related incident? No, I think it was actually, pet-related. I don't know what the suspension was. I don't know.
He's not suspended. He's buying a pet, a pig.
A pig?
He's doing it. He buckled. He's finally buying a pet pig. It's going
to
take him a few
How many
days.
Is he up to in his household? 14 animals?
Seven.
Okay.
I believe he said 2 dogs, 3 cats, 2 frogs.
How do you keep track so well?
Because I've heard it a few times.
Bobby Hot Dogs posted a mayonnaise picture. An AD signing. I missed this conversation, I guess.
All right.
Mayonnaise and AD, they go together?
Well, he talked once. You'll have to refresh me. But one thing he talked about was the idea of a hack for grilled cheese. Instead of buttering the bread, you put a light spread of mayonnaise on there.
Oh, okay.
And it's got a higher... It's got a higher temperature for like melting or whatever, and so it gets a little more bread, a little more toasty kind of bread.
Okay.
Without,
okay.
But I'm unless Clint can remember a different reference to mayonnaise.
It's right over the top.
Yeah, that's okay.
I once had a really good friend when I was in high school, early college, and he could not stand mayonnaise. He's no longer my friend. Like he disowned me. I don't know why. But could not stand mayonnaise. So one time I thought it was pretty funny to, I'm going to take a big glop of mayonnaise and put it in his car door handle.
Oh, wow.
he grabs the car door handle. Didn't know what it was because it's dark outside.
Sure.
And then he puts it to his face, sniffs it. Instantaneous barf.
No.
Just right there. Was he
altered at that point a little? He had a couple of pops
by then? Just hated the smell of mayonnaise and hated mayonnaise that much.
It's hardcore.
he was not very pleased, but I had to clean it off his car. But it was worth it. Totally worth it. few others on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Bobby Hot Dog says, Choice has the rehab assignment on Tech Talk. I think you're mixing it up. This is the call-up for...
Yep.
But it's like just the spot start. I know that it's going to be short, and I'll be sent back down in a few days, so it's okay. I understand my
Bring in the
my
role.
I understand my role. Brandon says, Mayo and AD go together like lamb and tuna fish. All right. Not surprised that Dickens would be getting a pig for the house. I will say this, though. A pig is better than cats any day of the week. That's from Home Finder. Is that right? My brother once got a pet pig. They were told it was supposed to be like a teacup pig. They were also lied to. This pig is up about 150 pounds now. No longer an indoor pig. Was at one point an indoor pig. Also got into the fridge. Broke into the fridge one time. Cracked open... a 12-pack by itself, just chewed into each can, licked everything up off the ground, and got plastered drunk.
Man, so, this pig knows how to party. What is up, pig?
Annie's quite the pig. She's sweet, though. Very wiry hair.
How do you get into the fridge? Like, biting the thing and pop the...
Well, this didn't have like a... This, I guess, was like a garage fridge, an older one, so it's just nudged
kind
it open.
Kind of pried the deal open?
Just found a way in. Into the fridge, but true story, according to my brother. I don't know. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech baseball. Yesterday, we got the news for Cole Stillwell. Was that surprising? You're much more of an insider than I am. Was that surprising to you? Because when I saw he didn't get drafted, I guess the assumption was okay, we'll see Stillwell back here for a fifth senior year.
Yeah, and AD talked, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I'm happy with him. Texted with him last night, and
wish him the best.
It actually, this thing went down on Thursday, but they didn't. I think they were waiting to get him to sign the deal and do whatever. But you know, and they did. They got the photo op of him in front of the logo and all that stuff. You know, the thing that, and I just haven't dug into their. Some teams will sign more undrafted free agents than others.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got about the same number of roster spots to fill in terms of the same number of minor league affiliates and whatnot. But sometimes you can look at a draft and go, hey, they're taking a catcher, or they're hunting an extra one of these or one of those or whatever because they didn't get that guy signed.
Right.
They didn't get their third rounder signed or their seventh rounder, or they drafted two catchers and didn't get either one of them signed. So, you know, who knows? And what we really don't even know is if Kurt's I mean, if Cole's getting drafted as a catcher or not. My hunch is that he is. And the key thing for him is swing the bat and hit and we'll find a place for you to stand.
Of course.
My hunch is that he'll be catching, and I'm only saying that just because he's probably not running around the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they really want to, and you say, well, if they want to mess around, we've got to make him a corner infielder. Well, they just signed Parker Kelly too. They got a third baseman there, and that's, and so, can Kurt play some first? Yes. Is he a big league first baseman? Probably not. And so, my hunch is the catching deal will be where he lands on a day to day basis. But those undrafted free agents, they're going to the complex. And they're going to play at a low, low, low level of minors and have a long way to go to get there.
Sure.
But, root for those dudes and all that.
Of course.
But, when you know that Kevin Bazell's was here last year.
Yep. That room's getting pretty crowded.
You bet. And the part of the room that's crowded is sort of that catcher, first base, DH thing.
Sure.
And then they went and got Gavin Cash.
And
Ryan Brohm. Brohm's not a catcher, but Brohm played at first, as did Cash. And Cash, a Longhorn transfer, and you start to go, that's a lot of guys over there that are stacking up at the first base, two catchers in there, and they may very well do what Hudson White and Stille did this year, which is catch and play first, Brohm, and you never even know, you get a transfer, and you go, Gavin Cash, or what do we got here? Well, I know that he was like third or fourth in the league in home runs out there in the Cal League.
Right.
Brohm at one point near the end was leading the league in RBIs. And so those two guys had big summers and are going to be competing for middle of the lineup type, corner outfield, corner infield role, DH stuff.
Now, forgive me if I've missed something, been out of the loop or something, but how surprised are you that we still haven't seen Easton Morrell or Kurt Wilson sign a free agent deal yet?
Yeah, and I want that to happen for those guys.
Yeah.
The fifth year senior thing makes it really tough.
Yeah.
There needs to be
no leverage.
Yeah, no leverage, and just when they're looking at prospects, I mean, there's guys getting traded today. Those guys are about the same age as Soto, the most coveted name in baseball.
True.
And maybe just a tick younger than him. And so, there really has to be sort of a tool or a carrying tool, or there's got to be one thing you hang your hat on. We've always known Parker Kelly was really good defensively over there. We've known that.
Mm-hmm.
This time last year, we wouldn't have looked ahead to say he's going to be drafted. But this year, he found a little bit of a power stroke. He's a good athlete. He can really defend over there, and Parker's getting a shot. And Morrell and Kurt Wilson, probably better college hitters than PK and some of those things. But just, are they corner outfielders in the mold of what we're seeing on TV right here out of these 22 and 23-year-olds? Probably not. Kurt's the one that I would have, all through the year, like, all right, which one of these 50-year seniors are going to get a shot? And of course, at the time we were asking this question in my circles, PK was Parker Kelly was still about a 210 career hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Just was really struggling and chasing and all. Came on. Obviously, we all know what he did, double-digit home runs. But Kurt was the athlete that I thought, he's going to get a shot.
He'll get a shot. I mean, he's a super utility guy mm-hmm. that – could play anywhere.
Might stick him on the mound too. That's what the other thing is. Like, if he still get up there and throw 97, somebody will roll the dice. And it's not too late, but it's getting late for those guys because signing deadline was yesterday, obviously.
You're listening to Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
That's right. You're listening to Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Alongside Mike Gustafson, I'm Choice Woodman. In for Aaron Dickens today. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. You can continue to join us. Your thoughts, comments, questions, hopes, dreams, whatever you want to get in on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. Aspirations, sure. Get it all in on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. Through that Double T 97.3 mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We'll get back to some of that in a little bit. But, Gus, the Dallas Cowboys get a little thin at receiver right now. And that's putting it kind of nicely. After James Washington fractured the right foot, out at least 6 to 10 weeks, is what the reports are saying. He's going to undergo surgery. So we'll see how much of the season he's actually going to have to miss. But this is already after Michael Gallup's been on the PUP list, physically unable to perform list. This is after the Cowboys had to let go of Amari Cooper.
Yeah, and really they had to let go of somebody. That was a money thing, yeah, cap room.
Completely.
Which, and I'm no Cowboys fan, but certainly an observer of them. And really since the salary cap came about in the mid-90s, that's the correlation there for the Cowboys. Because really in the mid to late 90s, they played it terribly. And I don't think that's just me throwing out some crappy 145th market sports talk hot take here. I think that's fairly well documented when they're re-upping Nate Newton and, you know, those dudes that were past their prime and still trying to hang on to the past glory and committed big money to that deal, and it destroyed them.
Yeah.
You know, that thing. And so, now, are they handling the cap better these days? I'm sure they are, but it always feels like the Cowboys have been slow to me to make the tough decision on a guy like Cooper and go, hey, we know you can still play a little bit, you know, but we can't afford that. We've got to do some other things here to stay young. And so, yeah, I was interested earlier because you had said you thought Cooper, you would have preferred they trim fat somewhere else.
Definitely
had to get rid of some salary to.
Well, part of the deal that factored into all that was Randy Gregory. Initially,
right?
They thought they were going to sign Randy Gregory to a big deal. That ends up falling through after some weirdness went on in that signing deal. So after Randy Gregory fell through, you all of a sudden had some money available where you could have kept Amari Cooper. And that's what's, I guess, frustrating is that plan A didn't work out. And then what could have been plan B and Amari Cooper was already gone. So that's where the Cowboys sit right now. And you're sitting there, and Jerry Jones has said today there's no rush to sign anybody else. And they want some other guys that are on the roster to take a look and see if they can step up. T.J. Vasher's
I was gonna say, there's
one of
Red
those
Raider in that mix. Yeah.
That's making he's making some headlines or videos, I guess.
Yeah, he had a highlight last week didn't he?
The one-handed grab, yeah. We've seen that around here. Question is, can there be consistency? Because we also saw a lack of that at times. But Yahoo Sports put out a list, and I've seen a few other names that could be added to this list of potential free agents floating around right now that the Cowboys could go get. And there's some intriguing names, to say the least, that are on this free agent list. But some that I absolutely loathe, too, if I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson is the first one they have. Cannot stand the guy.
Not part of a youth movement.
This would be one of those where I would have to swallow a ton of pride to root for this guy. This would be worse than Terrell Owens to me in terms of rooting for a guy. I mean, this is the guy that, I mean, you fool me once or you make a mistake, okay. But he has dropped the ball before the goal line between his college and pro career three separate times before the goal line. Seen it happen. But DeSean Jackson, out on that one?
Yeah, I need to hear the rest of the list.
Okay. Will Fuller, former Texans receiver. He's 28 years old, 6'1", 184 pounds.
Deep threat,
primarily.
So he's floating around, huh?
He is, but problem is, only played in 55 career games out of a possible 97.
Yeah.
So, big time injury prone, and if you're trying to replace injured guys, maybe that's not your best bet.
Well, you're playing a big if game on all of the guys you're about to lay out.
Mm-hmm.
But for what you're bringing him in, would be a very, again, if he could stay healthy, would be a very good 1-2 punch for what you want out of CeeDee Lamb this year.
Of this list, that might be my favorite, but we'll continue through it. Here's another one. 33-year-old, 5'8", 174 pounds, Cole Beasley's a free agent. Former Dallas Cowboy, has had some recent success in Buffalo. I could hear an argument there, but the contract would obviously have to be probably pro Cowboys to
How selective can he be right now if he's sitting around? I mean, he's waiting
for someone else.
If you're a free agent right now, these dudes you're talking about are trying to stay in shape and they're waiting for camp news to break.
Part of what Cole Beasley's got working against him is his old anti-vaccination status, which he can fit in Dallas and can't fit in places like L.A. or New York. And there's probably reasons where he hadn't been signed there.
Right, which limits his market a little bit.
Sure, yeah, but
no doubt. I'm talking about an SMU kid.
SMU kid. So I wouldn't mind rolling the dice on Cole Beasley again, but I don't think he can be the only option.
He replicates CeeDee Lamb to a degree, but certainly a proven dude that can play.
Mm-hmm. Another one, T.Y. Hilton. Again, older guy.
Older guy, man.
32, 5'10", 183 pounds.
That's my pick.
That's your pick?
As I was rolling through the free agents, T.Y. Hilton was my pick.
Hilton, he still averaged 14.4 yards per catch last year, so big play type of guy.
From Carson Wentz at quarterback, and I do think that plays a part of it.
Well, those dudes, I mean, I'm, you know, all of these guys, none of these dudes are going to be able to command big money, or long-term money or anything else. And, you know, hey, we're giving you a shot here. Now, you're not going to get them for $400,000 either. But as NFL receivers go, this isn't going to be the 49ers deal yesterday, 3 years and $73 million. Debo.
Yep. Another one, Willie Snead, 29-year-old, 5'11", 200 pounds. He's played most of his career in New Orleans, or played a good chunk of his career in New Orleans. Also been in Baltimore for the last 3 years.
Baltimore, yeah.
Vegas, Carolina, very little showing in recent years. So he would have to be kind of a resurrection project. Emmanuel Sanders, who is rumored to be retiring but hasn't officially turned in his paperwork to the league. So that's another one that's And here's your two very much wild cards.
All right.
Antonio Brown.
I was thinking about that. When you started reading this list. I was like, that'd be a Jerry move, wouldn't it? We can rehab Antonio Brown.
If it's Antonio Brown or DeSean Jackson, I'm a big DeSean Jackson fan.
no kidding.
Lastly, this isn't going to happen. Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, wow.
No thanks.
Got Dallas.
Because you will be spending big money on him.
Got Dallas family history.
Yeah. Is there one you like better than the others? I think Will Fuller's maybe my guy. Yeah. T.Y. Hilton. Not too bad.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton as well.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
That's right, you've got Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, as well as DoubleT973.com and Fox 34 News Now. Keep hitting us up, many of you have on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. He's Gus, I'm Choice, Clint back behind the glass today. You had on this day regarding our Cowboys valuation just a little bit ago.
By the way, on this day in 1979, Thurman Munson died in a plane crash, but also on this day in 1979, the Baltimore Orioles are sold for $12.3 million, okay? Which, you know, $12.3 million, 1979, a lot of money.
Yeah.
14 years later, 1993, sold for a record price of $173 million. So $12 million to $173 million in 14 years, pretty good.
What year was
79 to 93. And that was around the time of Camden Yards being built.
Okay.
Yeah.
100 $73 million.
Talked about the
It shows you the difference in NFL, where NFL has grown compared to Major League Baseball, because that's
because that sale price
is
pretty
price.
Comparable. Yeah, and that was what, 89,
88 or so. Yeah, I think maybe it was 88. Yeah.
Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys
for $150 million. So it shows you like Major League Baseball was almost the same level until the strike, and seemed like it all went downhill for
or flattened MLB. Out. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, five definitive statements. You guys are going to tell me whether I'm horribly wrong or, you know, spot
Gladly.
On with this. I know Clint loves to do this anyway. And y'all can chime in on the chat line as well. Statement number one, as we are 32 days out from Texas Tech football starting, the Red Raiders will not finish in ninth place in the Big 12 this season.
You are correct, sir.
Okay. This one was the easiest one. Just ninth place.
Is it? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, this is an easy buy. No, I would be incredibly surprised. Oh, wait, no, I guess I sell it if I don't think they'll finish in ninth.
I don't know how to do buying and selling.
I don't think that they'll finish in ninth place.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
So you agree with me.
You know, and to put a little more behind that, other than just being the fan and the alum and the letter winner, you know, just no way. I think a big part of that, and I understand, you know, I've voted in those kind of preseason things before, and all you really have to look at is what did they do last year? What do they have back from last year? What does everybody else? But there's a ton this year of uncertainty in this league, you know, and so much of it has to do with a lot of turnover at the quarterback position, and just not just at Tech, but all around the league.
All over, yeah.
Oklahoma State, good roster and everything. They've turned over a ton of that defense that was so good, including the defensive coordinator, just on and on and on. And, I just think there's enough uncertainty there that I'm anxious to see, as we all are, you know, the excitement around Coach McGuire.
Sure.
You know, he's never been a coordinator in college, never been a head coach in college. Very successful high school coach, Hall of Fame high school coach. And so there's so many storylines around it. We're all excited about it and everything else because he's done a wonderful job at exciting us as we go along. So it's just hard to imagine a ninth place finish. You know, I'm hoping for the kind of excitement being back in that stadium that carries us through some home games and it gets that ball rolling a little bit.
I agree.
And I look at the other side of it too. Like, I'm looking at teams like West Virginia, TCU, and Iowa State, and, like, you're going to finish better than at least one of them.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's the combination of all three of those teams are not going to be close to what they were last year. And West Virginia wasn't good last year. TCU wasn't great last year, minus the showing they had here in Lubbock, which was disgusting. And then Iowa State lost their entire core. I think they're returning 8 starters.
Right.
And of those starters, none of them are named Charlie Kolar, Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, insert either of their safeties. I have a very hard time, and I didn't mention Kansas because I know they're the lock-in basement dweller, that you'll finish better than.
No, but you're exactly right, and that's where I'm going. I think there was two at Big 12 Media Days, when everybody takes their quarterback, but there was two quarterbacks there that had taken a snap at their school.
Exactly.
One of them being at OSU.
Yeah, Spencer Sanders is the Big 12 All Big 12 quarterback preseason and postseason last year just by default, because I think there's a lot of potential at the quarterback position this year going into the league or going into the season, and we'll see around the league. All right, definitive statement number two: one Red Raider quarterback will start all 12 games for the Red Raiders this season.
I'm selling this. No chance.
No chance, but
I highly doubt it. And this is not just from your own team. It's what you've seen around the Big 12.
True. So this is fairly out there, to be honest, because the last time you did this as a Texas Tech team where you had one guy start all 12 regular season games, his name was Patrick Mahomes. So it's been a little bit. Nick Szymanek was close, but he ended up getting benched. The last game of the regular season wasn't injury related, but McClain Carter started that game, and then Szymanek finished it against Texas. So
to a win
to
on the
win.
Road,
that's right.
In fact, yeah.
So
that one's a tough one too, because we've had a tough stretch, or really a tough decade, I guess. my guess is that it's improbable, like a mm-hmm. more injury plagued, more of this type thing, years in which we've had multiple starting quarterbacks than in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like we're due for a year in which somebody stays healthy. And so I think most folks would answer that question probably with the idea that we got three pretty good quarterbacks. There's going to be somebody getting benched or whatever. And you know, my first thought is, who's staying healthy? You know, do we get off to a decent start? And, you know, if we get off to a decent start, number one quarterback's playing, stays healthy, you know, may stay that way all year.
Just purely from the form of it's tough to keep a guy healthy year. That seems to be different. And we were so spoiled in the 2000s. Basically the first injury problems you ran into, you had some with...
Cliff missed a couple games because one of those was a loss at home to Kansas.
That's right.
In about 01, 02.
Cliff missed, because B.J. Simmons had to start that game.
And we lost it in overtime.
And I think that was 01, but that was it. And then not again until the Nick. I said Nick because it was on the back of his jersey.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Taylor Potts and Sticks.
Yeah,
Stephen Sheffield.
Nick and Stick.
Yeah, not until then did you face any more kind of injury attrition.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's a little difficult to state, but I guess I'm in the rose-colored glasses camp of, hey, you're due. It's time to have a healthy guy around here.
I'm looking past the health side of this. If the race is as close as it's been through the spring, when it gets to the fall, I mean, you hear him say, regardless of who the starter is, Donovan Smith is going to have a package built in for him that you will see him in every game. What's to say that he doesn't play his way into the starting role? Or if you're not getting the results you want from whoever you pick, all of a sudden you hear the Barron.
Of course.
Seriously.
Oh, we've been through it all.
Well, and that's sort of where I was going with that. If you win a couple games early, you know, win that Houston game, play well, whoever's starting right there gonna be off and running a little bit.
You got such a tough 4-game stretch after. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can call it a 5-game stretch with Houston, but beyond the Houston game, you're going to NC State, who's supposed to be a top 10 or top 15 team. Texas at home. They seem to play their best game of the season against you every single year. Then you've got a road trip to Kansas State, who's preseason top 5 in the Big 12. They've owned you. And then at Oklahoma State, another top 2 team in the Big 12. So you look at that stretch.
It's brutal.
If you go 0-4 as a quarterback,
right?
That you're right. That is pretty difficult to navigate through and hold on to a starting job, even though that is a brutal stretch.
Yep, and that's why all the Vegas over-unders have this team winning 5 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Sooner in Lubbock says, I think you see all 3 of them. I think you will see...
3 all of them start.
I would doubt that.
Because that was
a good
question,
situation.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about starts. I absolutely think if Donovan Smith's not your starter, and this is just because this is what Joey McGuire says, too, if he's not your starter, you're going to see him around the goal line and see him in various packages.
He even described it. He goes, if you think we're not getting on the goal line and running quarterback lead, you
that'd
know,
be,
with
that'd
the
be stupid to
6 foot
to
five, 240
six, five,
pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Use that body. I think at least 2 guys will get meaningful snaps, but
the start is the operative word there.
Someone else drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit says they buy it. If you do have a quarterback that's starting all 12 games, I think you're in a pretty good position and you're getting to a bowl game at the very least. All right, I got 3 more of those statements. We'll get to those coming up a little later. Plenty more of your thoughts from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3.
.com and yours worldwide through the Double T 97.3 mobile app powered by Happy State Bank. Also on television, Fox 34 News Now. However, wherever you may be joining us from, happy that you've chosen to do so. To my right, that is Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Choice Woodman, in for A.A. Ron today. Clint Scott, back behind the glass as usual, taking care of us and attempting to make us sound good. All right, so I brought you a handful of statements. Two statements is all I got to earlier. I've got three more to give. Said that the Red Raiders will not finish in ninth place in the Big 12 this season. Both of you bought that.
No.
The second one was one Red Raider quarterback will start all 12 games for the Red Raiders this season. Both of you kind of selling on that, and I understand why. That's a little bit bold. Statement number three, definitive statement number three. Texas Tech will have at least 12 interceptions defensively this season. 12. For context, your last 5 years, interception total-wise, 10 last year, 5 the year before, but that's a COVID-shortened season, so you had 10 games. 14 the year before that, 12 the year before that, and in 2017, you had 14 as well. So 10 and 5 the last two seasons, 14, 12, 14. Those are your...
Yeah,
I'm saying they have 12 interceptions this year.
Yeah, I want to buy that. There's some, you know, how complimentary will the football be?
Mm-hmm.
Some of those teams, you know, you're like, wow, they didn't have very good DBs back in whatever year they had 5.
Yeah.
And that's an easy, it's a quick statement to make, but it probably also tells me there was no pass rush going on there.
That has a lot to do with it.
Yep. You might also have a low interception number in a year in which you get the ball run down your throat, shoved down your throat.
Which we've seen that happen.
Yeah, I know. And that's where I'm going with that. There's a lot more to this statement than just about our DBs.
Absolutely.
Hopefully there's some balance to all of it. And, teams have to throw to, you know, have to play balanced football and can't just shove it down our throat. Because there was a couple years in there where Cliff was here that it was just – ram it down our throat, and Arkansas did that.
The Arkansas game stands out more than any, probably.
OU did it one year when they had their third-string quarterback playing here, and he threw like 3 picks in the first half, and I don't think he threw it in the second half. They ran those lead plays and just...
I mean, last year, outside... most of the year, you were good against the run.
Yeah, but there was some balance there.
Then
there
was the Texas game where they shoved it down your throat, and then a TCU game at home where they did the same. Outside of that, I mean, it was such an anomaly, a couple of anomalies, so I don't think you can call it an anomaly. Anyway, so 12 interceptions this season. Clint,
I will buy it, and I'll tell you why. I do think that the secondary will be more healthy, more experienced. To Gus's point, I'm expecting, I think as is everyone is, a lot from Tyree Wilson, and I think you'll open up for someone, whether it's from up the middle from a Jalen Hutchings, or if you see a Josiah Pierre on the other side. I think you will see better pressure this year. My third reason is the Big 12's quarterback play in general. I don't trust. So I think that's a really good equation. And then the whole focus and mentality. I mean, you better get to that point if you're trying to do the whole take three mentality.
Sure. And
your can't DBs, all be fumbles.
Other part is that your DBs should be, if not your best group, one of your best position groups on Big the time. Field. Yep, all the guys you got back, Muddy Waters, Reggie Pearson, Rashad Williams. Yeah, there's a lot of good pieces in that defensive backfield. Definitive statement number four for this coming Texas Tech football season. The Red Raiders will have multiple selections on the All-Big 12 first team. You had 0 on the preseason list. 0. Multiple is what I say you have there. So more than one, obviously, if you can't do math like me.
And that was defense, offense, the whole deal.
The whole group. Special teams. Defense and offense.
I'll buy.
Okay. I mean, odds are fairly in your favor that you could get a couple, especially if you think that, your Ray Guy potential award winner in Austin McNamara could win one at punter.
And there's a desire to, amongst voters and that type of thing, to try to get somebody in there from everybody. And so, if it comes down to some position where there's a lot of guys in there, sometimes that tiebreaker will be, hey, we can get a Kansas guy, or hey, we can get a so-and-so, and so you may get that. You may get one of these DBs with some picks or something that gets in there, and hopefully, who knows? We've got an offensive lineman on the outland.
You've got someone kind of tight end everywhere.
One of these tight ends.
That's right.
Punter, give me, I'm in.
Yeah, I'll buy He would have said it at 3 or wouldn't have bought it.
I was very hesitant.
Just because, yeah. Here's the other part of this, and this is, because I think he got robbed, but it wasn't that big of a deal to me because it's a preseason. Austin McNamara wasn't even a preseason first, but I think that's who you're banking on to take one of the spots.
One of the
and
two,
then,
yeah.
Spot number two, do you see a Muddy Waters have a good year?
Right.
You have
right.
a dark
if one
horse,
guy has
Baylor
like five
Cup,
or six interceptions
year,
by themselves, yeah. That's
so,
an automatic. And
so
yeah.
just from the odds standpoint, I'll buy.
If Tyree Wilson
Tyree
becomes
Wilson.
What we're hoping. I mean, that should.
Right. There you go.
There's another one. There's lots of candidates for it. But it's kind of sitting in the potential category right now for most of those guys. And, you know, guy on this formerly on this program would tell you hope is not a strategy, but I think you're a little beyond hope. It's kind of potential at the moment for several of those guys. All right, fifth and final definitive statement for the upcoming Texas Tech football season. Tech will have its highest offensive output, talking yardage here, highest offensive output since Patrick Mahomes was here. So back in 2016 was his last year to play here. In 2016, Texas Tech piled up 6,799 yards.
Okay.
Since that time, your next year was the next highest offensive output at 6,170. The Matt Wells years, 5,691, 4,295, and 5,412. I mean, you look at some of those numbers, 5,691, 4,295, 5,412. Those were numbers that your quarterbacks alone put up in the Mike Leach days and your air raid days. So you would have that many passing yards in seasons. So I'm saying your total offensive output will be better than 6,170 yards this year.
I might sell that just because this may be a team that runs the ball a little bit more than I don't know how wide open we'll be right out of the gate under Kitlieb. And that's just me sort of, you know, some of the things we read coming out of spring training. And who knows? It may come out and sling it.
It's possible.
Yeah, no doubt. But, I'm okay. But, that doesn't mean I don't think they'll be exciting or explosive or anything else. It just means, you know, and one thing I think we're about to find out from Coach McGuire is what his sense of, you know, complimentary football is.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, we are talking about a guy that's got a defensive background.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's his desire to go, hey, let's not play in turbo mode, NASCAR, whatever all that stuff is, all the time and gas our defense?
It's such an interesting thing going with that because you've got a guy that is a defensive minded head coach. But you also bring in one of the most potent offensive coordinators in the country. So that meshing will be an interesting to watch in year one under Coach McGuire.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.